Have Sister Janet Barnett back with us this morning. She's had a terrible time with her shoulder, and she's doing some better. So we thank God that she is. Amen. It's a hard thing sometimes when you have surgery to get lined back out. But the thing about it is, it's God that's in control, is he not? Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. Ask you a question. Is everybody warm enough? Eva, you warm enough? All right. Anybody too hot? I try my best to keep it comfortable for everybody, but there's some of you got the... You do this... I'm not making fun, because men have some things too. But we try our best to keep it as comfortable as we can. Some are kind of cold-natured. Sister Gordon brings her a wrap, because she gets cold. And so she just kind of wraps up if she gets cold. But if it's too hot, I know it's miserable also. So we'll do the best we can. Try to tolerate it, and don't be too hasty to jump on me or beat me up or nothing, all right? Because I love you this morning. We definitely want to keep Brother Ted in our prayers, because Brother Ted is having a rough battle right now, having a battle like never before, and we want to hold him up to the Lord. He's needing gallbladder surgery, and he says he's not going to do it, and we've got to honor that. You know, if he's trusting the Lord to heal him, we need to join with him and believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? All right, we're glad you're here, whoever you are, and we're certainly glad. Do you want to know Jesus? Let's stand, if you would, please. I'll read you some scripture. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. We could have been a lot of places today, but God allowed us to be in the house of God. Notice in the book of Acts, very, very familiar scriptures, been preached on probably hundreds, if not thousands of times over the years here at the Ravenna Church of God, but the Word of God is like eating food. You may get a little tired of that type of food, and then you switch. May get tired of soup beans, we'll eat something else for a day or two. But I don't think I ever got tired of fried chicken, though. Not that I ever remember. Acts 16 and beginning of 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had all fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And he didn't stop there. "And thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway, or immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoice, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. God, that you have blessed us so good. You are so wonderful and mighty and precious and good. We're thanking you, God, for all the things that you bless us with and help us, Lord, and give us courage and boldness. And God, we've never been in prison like Paul and Silas and never been beaten and scorned like them. But, oh God, we're no better than they, Lord, because we know we're all equal in the eyes of you. And ask this morning, Lord, that you help us that we can understand better the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church says, what you must do and not do to be saved. There's some things you need to do, and there's some things you don't need to do. So in this chapter of the book of Acts, we see that the Apostle Paul, the great evangelist, and Silas, his co-laborer, was preaching and teaching in Philippi, and Paul was preaching in the streets. And the Bible says a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, meaning occultism. Occultism was very prominent in Rome at that particular time, the first and second century. And it was not unusual to see people practice witchcraft and other such horrendous things. Well, it seems that this damsel or young lady was the property of some of the rich folks around town. The Bible says that she had a spirit of divination. Divination. She, meaning that she could tell a fortune and tell the future. Tell your fortune, as they used to be fortune tellers. I remember years ago, I had an uncle that he said, I'm going to go to a fortune teller so they can tell me my future. My mom said, you go ahead to that devil if you want to, but God knows all of our future. So I think he chickened out and didn't go. He got afraid after that. But if you notice something, these folks were using this slave girl to line their pockets by telling people's fortunes. And she was following Paul and Silas, and wherever they went, telling the people, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth us the way of salvation. Now, the things she said were absolutely true. So you ask, well, why was Paul so troubled? Why was he so upset? Well, the fact is that the gospel would be damaged if she was associated with them, with that demon-possessed slave girl that was following them around and crying out to them. So the fact is that the slave girl just kept following them. And she knew there was something different because she was possessed of the devil. So Paul got fed up with continued badgering. And he called the demon out saying, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the Bible says the demon came out the same hour. Well, I want to tell you something. These slave owners were very highly upset. They lost their money tree, in other words. They lost what they had because this slave girl was making them a lot of money. So they saw that there was a good source of income that was used up. They didn't have it coming in, so they were highly upset. As a matter of fact, they were so upset that they went to the Roman magistrate to plead their case. They took for granted that Paul and Silas were Jews. They didn't even ask. They took that for granted, but neither bothered to question them about their Roman citizenship either. So they told the magistrate that Paul and Silas were preaching a religion not approved by the Roman government. Well, as a result, Paul and Silas were stripped of their clothes, they were beaten, and they were cast in prison. Now, I want to stop there just a minute, because years ago, we used to see a lot of street ministry. We don't see much of that anymore. We used to see them down on the courthouse steps on Saturdays especially. They'd have their guitars, and there'd be a group of singers or two or three singing, and they would be singing some good gospel songs, and they'd also have some preaching. And they wasn't ashamed to sing and praises unto God. They wasn't ashamed to preach the word of God from the courthouse steps. And the next thing was, they wasn't bothered by some of these law officials, and I'll drop the subject with that. But they wasn't bothered with them, because most of them feared God as well, and they didn't want to bother them. They wanted to just leave them alone. Hey, let that holy roller bunch, is what they used to call them, just let them stay outside, and they won't bother nobody. Just leave them out on the courthouse steps. And occasionally they'd get all happy, and you'd see them dancing all the way down the steps and all the way down the sidewalks and everything else. Some of them would take a little running spell every once in a while, run around some of the trees and things that was there in the courthouse steps, the courthouse lot. They wasn't ashamed of it. And people a lot of times would come for miles around and park their cars where they could just see what was going on. But there was miracles performed. There was people saved, people healed. A lot of things took place right on our courthouse steps right here in the big city of Irvine, Kentucky. And now it's got to the point that things are so much different. They see a bunch of people playing and singing. They want to know if it's the boogaloo or what is it they're singing. Well, Christian people's not going to be singing the boogaloo. They're going to be singing Christian songs, right? They're going to be singing something to bless somebody with. So when these things begin to take place, there was a lot of things happen, but some people didn't want to hear it, of course. And those didn't want to hear it, they'd go on about their business. But the ones wanted to hear it, they'd be backed up. Maybe hundreds of people gathered around just to hear them sing and preach and all of this. But anymore, things are a lot different. But here's the way that Paul was. Paul and Silas, they were out in the street. They wasn't inside the church house somewhere. It's got to the point now that everything is inside the closed doors almost, and when you take it outside, people get all excited. Oh, they're crazy, these people. Let's lock them up. They're crazy. Well, Paul and Silas wasn't crazy, but they got locked up because they cast the demon or the devil out of this young lady. It was she knew who they were. She knew that they had a higher power than she did and all this. But they stripped them of their clothes, and they beat them, and they threw them into prison. Not only did they put them in prison, they put their hands and feet in stocks or chains. They had them bound, and they were very miserable. Can you imagine being locked up and being in chains and all of this just because you preached the gospel? Well, I want to tell you something, folks. Some of these third world countries over there now, if they catch them preaching the gospel, or if they catch them handing out Bibles or anything like this, they either put them before a firing squad, or they take their head or something. And a lot of these uncivilized like people that think that they know everything, and they want to kill all of these people out, not realizing that, hey, they're actually doing these people a favor. They're just going on to heaven. You say, well, you mean to tell me they get killed? Well, sure. Hey, Jesus, just take them on to heaven and get them out of this old world anyway. But the ones left behind is one's going to be miserable. So, hey, you know, I don't know about you, or I don't know about what I would have done, but more than likely, most of us would have had a pity party. Well, now, God, listen. I was preaching your word. I cast that demon out of that girl, and now look what they've done to me. But did they feel sorry for themselves? Did they have a pity party? Nope. But instead of feeling sorry for themselves, what did they do? They started singing praises unto God. Now, how about this? And Paul had told the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse number 11, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Isn't this hard for us sometimes to be content? Isn't it hard for us? Hey, when we go through something, it's hard for us to be content. Now, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. If you love me, I wouldn't be going through this and all that. No, Paul and Silas, they wasn't feeling sorry for themselves. They started singing praises unto God. I want to tell you, one of the best ways to get the devil out of your house is start praising and praising and singing psalms unto God, because, hey, he don't like to hang around. He don't like it. And he's not going to put up with it, so he's going to leave. And that's the best thing could ever happen. And further on in verse number 13, he states that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, isn't that amazing? We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Hey, and this is good. We can do all things as long as it is God's will. And here's the thing about it. Christian people are not wanting to do something that's not God's will if they're a true Christian. Can you say amen to that? So this is a good part about it, folks. We can see a lot of wonderful and mighty things happen. So Paul and Silas were singing aloud. They wasn't just singing, praise the Lord. They said, praise the Lord. And the prisoners all heard them. And the guard or the prison keeper, they woke him up. What in the world is going on? Can you imagine these other prisoners over in the other cells? What kind of nuts have we got over there now? These crazy people over there. What is going on? Here we are trying to get some sleep. And they're over there singing and carrying on. What in the world do they think they are? They ought to just went on and beat them to death, and we wouldn't have to put up with them, they could have said. But hey, they were happy just to be honored, to be beaten for the Savior. Isn't this something? They were honored, and they sung praises unto God. Because one thing about it, Paul knew that this girl was demon-possessed. He knew that. He tried to avoid having any contact, but she just kept following him around. Why did she keep following him around? First of all, she was being tormented by that demon, and she wanted to be delivered, and Paul didn't want to upset everybody because he's just now getting in a good revival, no doubt, on the street. So, hey, finally he had all he could take. This has got to go, Silas. We got to get rid of this. She's aggravating us everywhere we go. Here she is, and she's just carrying on something pitiful, telling everybody that we're from the most high God. These are servants of the most high God. We got to get rid of her. She's giving us a lot of fits, a lot of trouble. We can't put up with it forever. So can you imagine Silas looking over at Paul and Paul looking over at Silas, and all of a sudden he just stops dead in his tracks. Looks this little damsel or this little lady right in the eye and says, come out of her. And immediately that spirit came out of her. That demon came out of her. And hey, these people, they went wild. Boy, they got so upset and mad, and they wanted to kill Paul and Silas, but hey, rather they wanted to start, just beat them real good. Just jerk their shirts off and just strap their back, cut gashes in their back. Hey, get rid of that bunch of crazy people coming here and stirring up trouble and taking our wealth right out of our hand. Hey, we had a good thing going, but look what's happening. Can you imagine all this? Oh, there's two weirdos in this cell tonight. We can't even get any sleep. They're crazy. How many times have people called us crazy because sometimes we act a little bit weird? We act different. Christian people are different. You know that? We are peculiar people. What does peculiar mean, huh? Different. We're different to other people. So we do act kind of weird sometimes according to other people, but does it really matter? It doesn't matter. If we belong to God, sometimes we need to act a little bit weird maybe. And that gets people's attention and stirs people up and gets them to realize, hey, there's something wrong. There's something about these people, and they're different to what we are. They may act kind of crazy or something every once in a while, but here's the thing about it. They put them into prison. But in verse number 26, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now notice this. Not only was it shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Now what do you think about that? Now, Paul and Silas knew they were backed by God because nobody else could do that but God. They knew that, hey, this was God. God was on our side. He's probably saying to Silas, hey, God's on our side. Just look what he done. He shook all the prison doors were open and all of this. Now, Paul and Silas didn't get all tore up or anything about it, but the thing about it is, Acts 28:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, make a joyful noise and rejoice and sing praises. And this is what they were doing. They were singing praises. Well, Paul and Silas, hey, I'm telling you, they knew they were right on target. They knew where they were right where God wanted them. You see, folks, sometimes God will send us to a particular place and we're not even aware at the time. God, why must I go over here? God has sent people by with a gallon of milk to because there wasn't any milk in the house and the baby was crying for milk. God has sent people with a gallon of milk. They bought a gallon of milk. They didn't need it. They didn't know why. And God directs them to the house and there the mama didn't have any milk for the baby. There's things like this happen. See, God puts us in a particular spot sometimes because he knows what somebody has need and he knows what we can do in all of this. But the thing about it is, folks, we don't understand it at the time. Paul and Silas was minding their own business, having a good revival in the street, and all of a sudden here, this crazy bunch grab them up and jerk their shirts off and start strapping their backs and all of this and put them in prison. So Paul knew he was doing the will of God. See, here's the key, folks. If you know you're doing the will of God, the devil's going to buffet you. He's going to come at you with everything he's got. But the good part about it is God's going to step in just at the right moment. He's going to deliver you. He's going to set you free. He's going to show you who is really boss. He's going to show the devil who is boss. Can you say amen to that? The devil might think he is something special. He is nothing but just a little fallen angel that came out of heaven trying to overthrow the kingdom of God, trying to make everybody miserable, but his time is coming very soon. He's going to be in bigger trouble than he ever dreamed about when he starts messing with God and God's people, trying to overthrow the kingdom of God. Can you imagine how stupid can anybody get? Well, he is a devil. That's why he's stupid. He's a stupid devil. There's no other word for it when you try to overthrow the kingdom of God. But this earthquake came and opened all the doors of the prison, releasing the shackles from Paul and Silas, and even woke up the guard or the prison keeper. Now, when the guard saw that the cell doors were open, he assumed that all the prisoners had escaped, and there was a capital fence for any guard. If the prisoners escaped that guard, it would cost them their life. Now, I want to tell you something. He thought he was in big trouble. So this guard saw that the doors were open and he was about to take his own life. He'd already no doubt took his sword out. He's going to fall on his own sword and kill himself. He thought, sure, that they were all gone. But Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Hey, don't be killing yourself. Hang on a minute. So he was given assurance that the prisoners hadn't escaped. So what would you have done? If you'd have been in Paul and Silas's, just thinking out loud or just reminisce a little bit, what would you have done? Would you try to run and hide? Or would you try to escape? Would you try to get away somewhere? But Paul knew that the door was open for a reason, and he wasn't afraid to stand his ground because he knew that there was something God wanted him to do other than just preach in the street. So he told the jailer to do himself no harm, for they were all there. And the jailer was so amazed, he thought it could have been just a stroke of luck that they didn't run off. But then he realized that there was something behind all this. God must be behind it or they would have all left. And Paul and Silas wasn't afraid of him. They wasn't afraid of getting beat again. They wasn't afraid of getting locked back up or anything like this. So he said, he asked them a question. He said, "Sirs," in other words, he was very humble. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" See, he recognized right then there was a higher power than he had ever felt. And he knew that God was with them or they would have never been in that shape. Hey, think about this. An earthquake come along and shaking all the prison foundations and all of this. So first of all, in order to be saved, Paul did not say, now notice this, Paul did not say, "Become a member of the church and you'll be saved." He didn't say that. What in the world did he say? He just said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house," or your whole family. Everybody's in your house, all your family, they're going to be saved too. See, the thing about it is, it's amazing to me how that Paul declared that not only the jailer's going to be saved, but his whole house is going to be saved. And some people says, "Well, I get saved. I don't know if the rest of my family's going to die and go to hell or not." Well, where's your faith at anyway? Just believe. Hey, this is what happened here. He began to believe. And he didn't say that you had to become a member. You had to be one of those, had your name on the church roll and anything like this. But I think it's very important. But then he also talks about in Hebrews. Hebrews says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I believe once you get saved, you'll want to attend the house of God. Can anybody say amen to that? I believe you'll want to associate with other people. I believe you'll want to assemble yourself and fellowship with one another, because it's very valuable and very important that we understand, because the Apostle Paul was he told a great deal in the New Testament about the very need to become a faithful person in the synagogues and all of this. So church membership will not save you. Understand that. But a church is where that you get saved, and it's the Bible believing, the Bible preaching church. So the jailer, the Philippian jailer, just simply asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then the second thing Paul did not say was, he didn't say, "Get baptized and you'll be saved." See, a lot of people's got the wrong perspective of the whole plan of salvation. Well, you say, "Pastor, shouldn't we be baptized?" You're absolutely true. But you need to be saved before you're baptized, right? So the problem is that many churches are putting emphasis on baptism rather than the result in salvation. That's just not true. They say if you get baptized, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. Hey, if you're not saved before you go down, you know what you're doing? You're going down a dry center and you're coming up a wet one. Plain and simple, that's all you're doing. But if you're saved when you go down, hey, you're doing what has been commanded us to do, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And this is the way that God intends us to do. Jesus himself said that, and he told us to do that. But I want to tell you, we need to understand, if you're not saved when you go down under water, you're not going to be saved when you come back up, unless the preacher holds you under there long enough. Now, you know I'm kidding at that part. But water baptism is very, very important, and it's vital. And you're not a member of the church until you get saved and then you get baptized. It takes salvation, folks, or we can never make it to heaven. He didn't say that they had to become a member. He didn't say that you had to do all these things. He didn't say that, hey, unless you're baptized, you're not going to be saved. But hey, the thing about it is, the Bible makes it clear that people believe first and then they're baptized. See, John the Baptist had a quarrel with the people. When Jesus was baptized, Jesus came out and John the Baptist was out there and he was baptized in the River Jordan. Well, they saw that people was being baptized and all this. Here come, as they say down in Louisiana, a boogaloo of people. And a boogaloo, that means a whole lot. A whole lot of people. They came out and they wanted to be baptized. What do you think? What do you think John the Baptist did? Now, he is a weird-looking critter anyway. If my dad was still living, he'd probably call him a jungle bunny. That's what he called people if they looked shabby and all that. He made it look like a jungle bunny, but he was a child of God, and he was the one that Jesus needed to baptize him. So here they come. Well, did he baptize them? Well, did he? He didn't baptize that bunch. He said, you snakes, in other words. He knew that they were coming out there and they didn't want salvation. They just wanted to be put on the water. There's a lot of people who want to be baptized just so they can say they've been baptized. But I want to tell you, folks, you need to get saved before you baptize. Am I telling the truth? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Who has warned you? Hey, they wasn't being warned. They just wanted to sneak on out and think they'll have a good time too. And then the third thing is, Paul did not say, just be a good person and you'll be saved. Now, unfortunately, hell is going to have an overflow of good people. I'm talking about good, moral people. It's a shame. Good, moral people. But they think they're good, being a good moral people is going to save them. That will not save them. Look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus was, he was a leader. He was a great guy in all this. But he knew that there was something lacking somewhere. What must I do to be saved? Hey, this is what we need to understand. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you bless other people and take care of the poor and the sick and the needy and all this and give your last shirt off your back because you're a giver and you love people and all this. All this is well and good, but this will not take you to heaven. You didn't hear Paul say, hey, if you just give the shirt off your back. Now, they've tore my shirt off. If you give me a shirt on one of those shirts, now you'll be saved. He didn't say nothing like that. He wasn't worrying about a shirt, whether he had a shirt or not anyway. All he was thinking about, hey, is answering them what he said. What must I do to be saved? And he just said, believe, folks. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means wholeheartedly seek him. And this is what we need to do. So he didn't say you could be a good person to get you saved. That wasn't what he said at all. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and 10. Now, I want you to notice something. We read that, and then there's another verse of scripture that I think people a lot of times misunderstand so badly. Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sometimes people think that justifies them. Everybody is sinned, so I'm justified. No, you're not justified. Now, I want to explain something here. So what does that mean? What does it mean for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? It means that you will never be good enough to get into the kingdom of God on your own merits. Or your good deeds. You will never be good enough, folks. Hey, so with that said, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because we were born into a nature of sin, plain and simple. And the only way we could be cleansed was the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross of Calvary. And we ask forgiveness, and that blood covers a multitude of sins. It covers all of our sins if we asked his forgiveness. But you cannot make it to heaven on your good merits. So you'll come short. And I don't want to come short because I'm too near home now, aren't you? So we need to understand something, folks. Don't take that scripture in the wrong context, because for we have all sinned. We have. We was born in that nature and come short of the glory of God. God was not pleased with all of us and our sins. But once we repented, you know what happened? What happened? We became a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? Come to the music, please. But see, the Philippian jailer, there was a change. He was the one that put the stripes on their back. He was the one that beat them and locked them up. But then here he is now. He's seeing that there's something different. He's seeing things from a different light. So he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul responded with, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And I want to tell you something, folks. It's amazing to me how good God is. See, once all these people that's abused us and told us bad things and lied on us and cheated on us and stole from us and all this stuff, hey, I want to tell you something. Once you get saved, you're ready to forgive those people. You're ready to forgive them. You say, well, I can't ever forget it. Well, I didn't tell you to forget it. I just said you need to be forgiven, right? We forgive people because this is what Jesus did. Look what they did for him. Look at Paul and Silas, what they did for them. He could have said, hey, you hateful jailer, you, look what you've done to our backs. What in the world did you mean? You knew that we were children of God. Just look at this. He had a job and he had to do it, just like we have a job and we have to do it, a natural job, but still yet now he knows that there's something different. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Here is a jailer. Not only is he a new creature, but his whole family. The entire household. He may have had servants in his house, but the whole house was saved. Isn't that something? But the thing about it is, you see, he brought Paul and Silas into his house, and Paul and Silas preached the gospel to the entire house. So it wasn't like that they were trying to come in on the jailer's merits. It wasn't like they were trying to come in and be saved just because the jailer, their daddy was. No, it wasn't that at all. But his whole house was saved because they all heard the word of God and believed. Isn't this good? You can't get saved on your grandma's religion or grandpa. It takes salvation, folks. Let's stand this morning because I want to ask you a question. The majority of you here this morning, no doubt, are saved, ready to go to heaven. And I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I'm glad I'm saved. But I want to tell you something, folks. Don't allow the devil to cheat you and lie to you and steal your salvation, not your salvation, but your joy. Don't let him get you joy. We need the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our salvation, right? So when people see the joy in us, they know that that's the joy of our salvation. They know that we have salvation. This is a good part, folks. God is really good. The altar's open this morning. If you'd like to